Back to the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select with Hockman, Gould, and Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Writer's Block. I'm not sure if this is the music, so if we can turn it down a little bit there, maybe that the song isn't kind of the fit of maybe what's ahead here, but I want to read to you guys just briefly here. A few feet away, Ventura's aunt fell into catcher Salvador Perez's arms, sobbing. "Be very strong," Perez said to Ventura's mother. "We are here to support you, and we will never forget what you told us back at your home. After God is family. We are extremely sorry for the loss of our brother Ventura. Only God knows why these things happen." Those words are from our next guest, Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com. He wrote them on MLB.com under the headline, which you can find there on MLB.com, "Mourners Gather to Pay Respects to Ventura." He had to cover Yordani Ventura's funeral, the procession, and all that went with it from afar. And it wasn't too long ago that Jesse and I were in the Dominican Republic together for Oscar Tavares' burial and funeral. Jesse, thank you for joining us. And I just want to ask you, I guess, first off, were you struck by any of the similarities between these two funerals? Were you struck, like I was, with memories of what it was like to cover Oscar's funeral?
Right. As you remember how devastating covering Oscar's was, and I mean, you couldn't help but see the similarities. When a player passes, it's a member of the community passes. It's their brother, it's their son, it's their cousin, it's their friend. These guys mean so much to their towns. They mean so much to, you know, the neighborhood. So everybody comes out. So what we noticed when Oscar passed away and you and I were there is the entire community, hundreds, maybe thousands of people, you know, they walked the procession, mm-hmm. you know, from his house. And then we went to, you know, Oscar's, you know, church, childhood church. And he, in this case, you know, they went to Yordano's childhood baseball field. And then, you know, as we, you know, it's just crowds of people, you know, paying their respects and crying. And it's just a, you know, it's a tragic and it's a very sad thing. And I think there's just all these questions as why this keeps happening. You know, what can be done to prevent this? There's just a lot of heartbreak in the Dominican Republic. There's heartbreak across baseball. And, you know, it brings us back, you know, a lot of sad memories.
You were in the Dominican not too long ago and have been there far more often than I have been. Can you describe your feeling when you're driving on those roads and how you feel even as a passenger at times?
Well, you know, as you know, so I've been going to the Dominican Republic, so maybe a dozen years around that, you know, and the truth is I've never driven.
Yeah.
And that is just my choice. So what I do is, you know, I have trusted drivers people I've established relationships over the years, and they help me get from one place to another. You know, in addition to, you know, knowing the terrain and, you know, how kind of hectic it is driving there, you know, they understand what it's like to operate in that driving system. And another thing I do is, and it sounds so simple, is you just kind of just don't stay out too late.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. Especially late at night, at dark roads, people are running red lights. Not to say it's just this level of lawlessness that's there in Latin America, but there's just, as with any big city or as with any big, you know, community, there just, you know, there's an element of danger that exists there. And if you're not familiar with your surroundings, or if you take your surroundings for granted, you know, things happen.
Yeah, one of the things, I did drive over there when we went, and one of the things I was struck by, and later a police officer there was kind of describing the same thing to me, was that, you know, so many people are on mopeds and motorbikes and they're whizzing in and out of traffic. And, you know, I had to kind of keep track of where vehicles were coming from, not from all directions because of that. Mm-hmm. And there could be 3-4 people on a single moped. And if I moved out of the way of one, there was every chance that I was going to hit another one that I didn't see coming on the left side. But what really stood out to me was not just that, but, and you've probably seen this or maybe even been one of these cars, is that the cars that players can afford and that they return home with or by there, the roads aren't built to handle them. They're too big and too fast. And we see that with some of the pickup trucks that that I know you've been in. We certainly saw with one of the sports cars where the roads just aren't built. They're not wide enough or graded enough to handle some of this.
You know, that's exactly right. It takes me back to a different story. It's a little bit more positive. Nelson Cruz, you know, the outfielder for the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a real big philanthropist. He really cares about his community there in Dominican Republic. So he bought fire trucks and ambulances for his community because they just didn't have them there. And the reality is, he told me it took him extra time to find the right size vehicle to operate on these roads, because you can't, you know, drive a full-size fire truck, a full-size ambulance down these roads. So, you know, in terms of what you're talking about, the size of vehicles on these roads, even for emergency vehicles, you have to have the right size, much less, you know, a sports car or a big vehicle. They just don't fit.
Jesse, I know it. I know Major League Baseball, I mean, every team is, makes a point to try to talk to its players. It doesn't have to be whether they're going home to another country or going home to the middle of somewhere in the United States about how to be kind of on guard against certain things when you're away from the team. Obviously, when you're in a different country where there are some of these situations, I guess that awareness needs to be heightened as these events have come in multiples in the Dominican. Do you think baseball is it in the process or needs to do something to try to make things better in terms of whether it's a program or whether it's some sort of deal that can be worked out where they can maybe work on education but also fixing some of these issues?
You know, it's a very complex question and answer because I think teams, they really care. They've invested millions of dollars in the players. They've invested millions of dollars in the academies and in a bigger picture, the infrastructure there in the Dominican Republic. You know, Major League Baseball, they have this rookie, development thing every year. Teams have their own system. But, it comes down to accountability. I mean, so these are like 25 to 35-year-old men or 20 or, even younger. And it's kind of up to their... It's in their hands. How do you make someone do something they don't want to do? I mean, it's a very tricky situation there. I think these deaths and are really impacting the Dominican Republic, Latin America. I think people are trying to search for answers here. I think one, possible solution, Yordano's agency, I think it's ISE agency, I think they're talking with local officials there in the Dominican Republic, talking to clients, and I think they're going to reach out to MLB and MLBPA about making a safer offseason. I mean, kind of having a brainstorming session. What can we do? Is it a car service? Is it education? Is it a driver service? And then which players will take advantage of that? I mean, it's a complex thing. I mean, unfortunately, these accidents happen, and we still don't know the circumstances around Yordano's death, but obviously everybody wants to prevent more tragic events like this.
Jesse, do you recall we were sitting there in the restaurant not too far from the visitation, and we were talking to Carlos Martinez, and he was describing sort of what you just kind of chronicled there, is the decisions he had to make on his own to withdraw from bad influences. And he went to a resort that was close to his home, but you needed a band, and he showed us the bracelet that he had to get into the full access resort. And he made the point that if there's a need to stay out late, he stays out late at a bar there and is already staying on site. That people can only come and go with their permission onto that facility. How feasible is that? I mean, he was able to do that because he obviously had some resources. Is that what it took, or how feasible is that? And are there more players that take advantage of the private resort kind of nature that's available to them than we maybe know of?
I'm not sure. I think one thing we're seeing, like, this isn't just, a Dominican Republic problem. I mean, I think this happens to young players who in the NBA or Major League Baseball or NFL,
right,
or, any kind of, or say music industry or entertainment industry, when you're all of a sudden you're thrust into the spotlight, and you have you know, so much funny that you'd never even imagine. There's just a lot of factors in play there. You know, I think a lot of the mature veteran players, some stay in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, some just go back and visit. But it's a tough spot even to do that because your family's there. Your mother's there. Your father's there. Your little sister's there. You know, there's also this obligation and duty to go back to Latin America, to your country, and show that you haven't forgotten where you come from. You know, that you're still the same guy. But I don't know. I think it's getting a lot of attention because it's happened in Dominican Republic and it's happened across Latin America, Venezuela, with these car accidents. But I think this is not unique just to that. I think this sometimes happens here in the United States with young people who, you know, put themselves in positions where, you know, things like this can happen. I mean, I'm not sure. I think if whatever solutions we have for those problems here in the U.S., you can use those same types of, you know, solutions for, you know, what's happening across Caribbean and Latin America.
Do you think that the profile of the players in this case might keep the conversation going a little bit further than, I mean, because, you know, I know locally the Cardinals rethought how they approach things and talk to players, either offering Carlos Martinez a chance to stay in the States and urging him to do that and giving him access to the facility down there in Florida, or changing their education program for youngins. But that was localized. Do you think that the higher profile players, Jose Fernandez, Yordano Ventura, that this conversation might carry on a little bit longer, or once pitchers and catchers report, or is this conversation going to fade?
You know, I think that's a great question. I mean, I can't recall an offseason where two such high profile baseball players who've meant so much to different communities, English-speaking communities, Spanish-speaking communities, I mean, the international community, domestically.
Yeah.
You know, these kind of things have happened. I can't recall anything like this. So you can't help but, you know, think about that as you go into spring training, or the first time you go into, you know, the Marlins Stadium, or what's going to happen at the All-Star Game, or, you know, I live here in Phoenix, or, you know, what is the surprise stadium and the Kansas City clubhouse going to look like and feel like when you go in there? I think, you know, I think that's a good point. Obviously, you know, all people have the same value, and the death of minor leaguers are, you know, are just as impactful as,
yeah,
you know, the death of a superstar. And, you know, you think about the families of everybody involved. But I think from, you know, what you mentioned, maybe this could bring more attention to it, to the situation there. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to the guy, to the players. You know, it's going to come down to the players. And, you know, I guess as you kind of think of it as a parent, you know, you want to show your kid the best way. You want to, you know, kind of guide him the best way. But ultimately, you know, you're also training them to have a level of independence. So, I mean, it's just a very difficult situation. I'm not sure, you know, there's not really any easy solutions. I know clubs make effort. The league has made an effort. And, you know, sometimes just these tragic things happen, I think.
Do you think it would be worthwhile for Major League Baseball to enlist the help of some of the superstar Dominican players in this regard? You know, whether it to speak at the rookie symposium or to even go around with Tony Clark during spring training, you think it'd be beneficial if David Ortiz tagged along and talked about this?
You know, I think obviously the more information, the better. I mean, it has to be at the forefront. One, you know, I was talking to some people there in the Dominican Republic, and they were telling me, you know, Jose Fernandez's death really impacted them, you know, in the Dominican Republic. But in some ways, it was a little bit different because he had a different experience coming from Cuba to Tampa.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, unfortunately, I think, as you know, some people always want to label the Latin experience as just one experience when there's so many different cultures, dialects, languages, and, you know, customs with each different country and each different group. So along those lines, you know, this person was telling me the Ventura death is really going to impact young players in the Dominican Republic because he was one of them.
Mm.
He was a young guy, you know, who signed young, 17 years old. He wasn't the biggest guy, but he, you know, he always, you know, remembered where he came from, and it's going to really hit home the same way Oscars hit home. But Yordano was such as a fun loving, charismatic guy that, you know, everybody really watched him every time he pitched. You know, his performances in the World Series really elevated his status across the country. So, you know, I will not be surprised if there are families, you know, across the Dominican Republic or, you know, across Latin America, or even here in the United States, that, you know, you talk to your children about what happened, even though we don't know all the details, but we do know there was a tragic car accident and things can happen like that. So I really do think, you know, having Yordano, being able to relate to so many young Dominican players, that in that way, maybe something positive can come out of it. Like people can, you know, kind of heed that lesson there and have these conversations and just keep the conversation going.
Jesse, last question for you, and maybe it's the most difficult of them all. His, you know, Yordano Ventura had this contract and there's $20 million left on it. How is that going to influence maybe how much truth we get as to what happened?
You know, as we know, when Oscar passed away, the facts are the facts, mm-hmm. you know, and I think we're going to see the facts come out of the Dominican Republic, and they shoot straight. There's Associated Press that seems to have the news on those type of front, and I think we're going to get what happened, you know, just the truth, mm-hmm. and that's just the reality. I mean, it would be an injustice to, you know, the future for all the young players coming up. It would be, you know, unfair to the fans. I think unfair to anyone who cares about baseball, unfair to, you know, even, you know, parents who want to share these stories with their children to not know anything but the truth. So I really do feel, and I feel confident that we're going to know what's going to happen, you know, whether the factors that were involved in this. And from my experience going to the Dominican Republic over the past decade, yes, in some instances you have to double check. You have to confirm and confirm again on news side or breaking news and that kind of stuff. But it's been my experience in these types of tragedies is that they're straight on, you know, and we're going to kind of get what happened there, and I think we're going to get all the facts.
Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. I can't say enough about how well you cover we're focusing on tragedies here, but I want to encourage people to follow you on Twitter at Jesse Sanchez MLB, and of course, check out your work at MLB.com, because what Jesse does to explore and explain and illuminate Latin America and baseball in Latin America is overwhelming. And Jesse, I mean, you've been a friend for a long time, and I mean, he's helped me personally when we've gone to the Dominican and we went to Cuba together, and he's helped me better understand things. So thank you so much, pal, publicly, what I've said often privately, and thank you for helping us explore this issue today.
My pleasure, guys, and thanks for having me on. I think this is a very important topic, and I'm glad, you know, we're having this discussion, and hopefully it leads to, you know, more discussions everywhere.
Yeah, well, we'll continue to have it on this show. Thanks again, Jesse. Thank you very much joining us.
All right, thank you.
That's Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com. He's a national reporter there. Guy breaks news constantly on Latin American players, what players are coming out of Cuba. So he wrote a fascinating story about a young pitcher or a young player from Brazil who's going to headline that country and the talent coming there. So, I mean, he just does such great work there for MLB.com. Lots to unpack, guys. And we'll do it after this break here. You've been listening to The Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com.